I'm an addict. My name's Ron. And one of my sponsees told me that he paid $30, and if I lie, he was going to shut this meeting down. So I come up here not as a spokesperson for Narcotics Anonymous, but to share my experience, strength, and hope through the 12 steps as I've learned it through sponsorship. And to be perfectly honest, you know, in this very room, I came in here for my first convention, and there was a lady that came up here and shared in one of the workshops here, and she shared that she was getting ready to celebrate 4 years clean. And when I heard her share that, I was amazed because I couldn't believe that anybody could share or could stay clean for 4 years. But she went on to tell me that she had never used drugs before in her life, and I was totally screwed up. But what it taught me was that this is not a drug program, that this is a life program, and that when I put the drugs down and I want to start living life, that I could have change through the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. My clean date is March the 9th, 1991. I came in and I picked up a one-day key tag, and I have not picked up a one-day key tag since then. And I share that for any newcomer that's out there that don't think that he can stay clean like I didn't think that I could stay clean. I'm here to tell you, you can. They called me on this topic, and I was asleep. It was about 12 o'clock in the day. I had to go to work that evening, and the guy called and said, "Can you share a meeting?" And I was like, "Yeah, I can share." And he said, "Well, do you work steps?" I said, "Yeah, I work steps. I've been through all 12 steps and more than once." He said, "Do you still go to meetings?" I said, "Yeah, I do." And he went through this long, I guess I was like applying for the job. And he said, "Well, we're going to send you out something." And I said, "Well, okay." And as I laid my head back on the pillow, I said, "Well, damn, that's a lot to go through for a speaker jam." You know, and when I got the letter, I was like, "Convention? Now, wait a minute. I didn't sign up for that. I'm not no convention speaker. My sponsee wanted to be a convention speaker. I ain't want to be one." But when they told me the topic was men's sponsorship, that's something that I have learned a little bit about. And you know, in this program, through working 12 steps, I've always been told that it's not so much what I say, but it's what I do. If you want to know how sponsorship works, it's real simple. Would my sponsor please stand up? That's my sponsor, y'all. He's got 20 years clean. That's right. No. Would his sponsor please stand up? That's my grand sponsor. If your sponsor stood up, or if I sponsor you, will you stand up? If your sponsor is standing up, will you please stand up? And that's how sponsorship works. Before I start to share my experience, I'd like to read something out of the basic text, because this is my Bible, trust me. And it's on page 55. And it says that we have found it helpful to have a sponsor and to use this sponsor. Use them. Sponsorship is a two-way street. It helps both the newcomer and the sponsor. The sponsor's clean time and experience may well depend on the availabilities of sponsor in a locality. Sponsorship for the newcomers is also the responsibility of the group. Now, when I first read that, what that told me was that, and what I experienced in coming in here was, when they told me to get a sponsor, I didn't know who to pick. I really didn't. And what I gravitated to was somebody that looked like is what I wanted to be. So when I saw somebody that was talking to all the girls or had all the gold, I automatically gravitated to that. Now, since I've been here, what I found out is that I would take the easy way out all the time. So when other people come in, when newcomers come in, I will hug them And I'll say, do you have a sponsor? And if they say no, I say, here, this is a good man to be your sponsor. Go get his phone number. Because they don't have a clue. It says that sponsorship, it is implied and informal in its approach, but it is the heart of NA Way, of recovery and from addiction, one addict helping another. One of the most profound changes in our lives is the realm of personal relationships. Our earliest involvement with others often begins with the sponsor. As a newcomer, we find it easier to have someone whose judgments we trust and in whom we can confide. We have found that trusting others with more experience is the strength rather than a weakness. Our experience reveals that working the steps is our best guarantee against relapse. Our sponsors and friends can advise us on how to work these steps. We can talk over what the step means. They can help us to prepare for our spiritual experience of living the steps. Asking God as we understand Him for help improves our understanding of the steps. When we are prepared, we must try our newly found way of life. We learn that the program won't work when we try to adapt it to our life. We must learn to adapt our life to the program. Today, we seek solutions, not problems. Every problem I ever had in Narcotics Anonymous, I've solved through working steps. And every step I ever worked in Narcotics Anonymous, I learned through sponsorship. When I first came in here, I had, and I picked up my one-day keychain. I didn't pick it up because I believed in this program. I didn't pick it up because I felt like I was finished using. I didn't pick it up for any of those reasons. I picked it up because everybody else picked up one. And because that's what they told me to do. So I went up there, and I was like, okay, so they got me on that one, but when I get out of here, I ain't coming back. Because this is crazy. I remember before I left that meeting, there was a guy there, Wayne D. He told me, he said, go to and do a 90 and 90. I'm like, what the hell is a 90 and 90? He said, go to 90 meetings in 90 days. And I immediately told him I couldn't do that. I got other stuff to do. I got to pay rent. I got child support. I need to find another job. And I got all this stuff that I got to do. And the only thing I was doing was running up and down the street trying to get high. When I went to my second meeting the next night, there was a guy celebrating 2 years. And see, in my first meeting, what they did was they gave me one of these basic texts, right? So I went home, and I'm pretty slick. I read the damn thing all the way to the personal stories, and I said, well, shoot, I got this thing. I'm finished this. So the next night when I went to that meeting, the guy was celebrating 2 years. He was talking about the first and second step, and I was like, well, shit, I read that. So I raised my hand, and I started sharing on the first and second step. I said, shoot, I'm a power greater than myself, and I ain't powerless over very few things, and I really can control this if I really try hard enough, but I ain't really try. And my sponsor came up behind me, and he whispered in my ear, he said, who's your sponsor? And I said, well, I ain't got one. He said, well, shut the hell up until you get one. I had 2 days clean. I'll teach y'all how to recover. Y'all ain't figured it out. Y'all been here too long. He pissed me off. That's what he did. So I went home, and you know what I did? I said, I'll fix his ass. I called him up and asked him to be my sponsor. And he's been my sponsor ever since. First thing he told me to do was call him every day. And every day I called him. And every day I got his voicemail. And after about 4 months, I was like, man, this shit is crazy. So I went to another recovering addict, and I wanted him to co-sign my shit. And I'm like, man, look, you know, I really need to get another sponsor because this one is just don't have time for me. And he said, well, did you talk to him? And I was like, well, nah. I didn't talk to him. I just know he ain't got time because he don't answer the phone. I know he's getting my messages. I went and I asked him, how come you don't call me back? How come you don't return my calls? He said, I didn't say I was going to call you. I just told you to call me. What it did for me was it gave me some willingness. It made me make a commitment. It showed him that I wasn't playing and that he could invest time in me, that he could invest some of his effort in me. And by me doing that every day, he was willing to take a risk on me. It wasn't me taking a risk on him. It was him taking a risk on me. He was already clean. After we started to talk to each other, I told him I needed to work steps because the steps are the way up and out. And he said, get the triangle of self-obsession and start to read that and write on that triangle. And I took it home and I read it. And I said, man, I got a weird sponsor because I don't understand this thing. I said, what he really need to do is let me go ahead and work on my step because this is stupid. So I went back to him and I told him that this was stupid. And what he told me was, is if you can't understand the triangle of self-obsession, how in the world could you possibly understand steps? And you know, that was the first time in a long time that somebody had just said something straight to me that was totally true, that I couldn't rebuttal, that I couldn't argue against, that really pissed me off, made me want to fight him. But when I looked at what he was saying, he was right. I took that thing home and I was determined. And you know, I got to share this too. You see, sponsorship for me wasn't like I really trusted Bruce a lot. The reason why I chose Bruce, or the reason why I chose a sponsor, period, is because I didn't want to be responsible. I figured if I got a sponsor and I did everything that sponsor told me to do, if I relapse, I could blame it on him and I could get high in the process. He cheated me out of a high on that one. I finally did that triangle self-obsession. And he let me go on to my first step. And see, when I first started working steps, we didn't have like the flat book and, you know, sponsorship guide and it works how and why. You had to pick up a basic text and you had to read that step and you had to come up with the question and the answer and the solution. See, my sponsors taught me that there's three parts to a step. That the first part is me writing a step. That's the first part. The second step is me going over it with him and learning about that step. But the last part and the most important part is after I get that information to go out and use it in every area of my life. See, I've been around a long time and I see how sponsorship works for me and I see how it works for a lot of people. But my sponsor is the type of sponsor that will not let me go to another step until I am actively working that step in my life. And the way that he would tell is he would hear me share. If I was coming in sharing crazy shit, he'd just say, keep reading. Keep going to meetings. Be quiet. I remember he made me sit on the front row, and he told me to stay up there. And after I celebrated my first year, I thought I had graduated, so I moved back to the third row. And see, my sponsor, he's real slick. He won for sneaking up on you and whispering. And he snuck up on me, and he whispered in my ear. He said, are you still trying to save your life? And I said, yeah, I am. He said, well, get your dumb ass up on the front row and act like it. I stayed up on the front row until I had 3 years clean, and then he came up and he whispered in my ear again. Now you can move backwards and let a newcomer sit up there. Whenever I have any kind of difficulty, I go to my sponsor and I run it past him. And you know what else my sponsor has taught me? My sponsor has shown me through his experience, that he really don't tell me what to do and he never has. And you know, in sponsorship, that was one of the hardest things for me to want to have a sponsor for because I didn't want nobody telling me what to do. I figured I was a man and I don't need nobody to tell me what to do. What my sponsor does is when I tell him what my problem is, he shares experience. And what that does is that experience gives me a different point of view and a different perspective to look at. So when I make my decision, that I have more information, I can make a better decision. Our literature talks about believing in someone who could help me get a better perspective on my life. They were talking about sponsorship. Sponsorship has definitely changed every aspect of my life. You know, I did real good with sponsorship. I remember being in the convention up there in, I think it was 95 in Baltimore, down at the Hyatt. And we went across that little catwalk over there, and we had got these sandwiches, and we were sitting there. And it was me, my sponsor, and another sponsee brother. Remember that, Steve? And my sponsor was telling my sponsee brother to do some things. And he was like, man, I can't do this now. And he looked at me, and I said, you just ought to do it. And he said, there's no way you can tell me that you do everything your sponsor tell you to do. And I said, yeah, I do. And he said, no way. And I said, well, if you don't believe me, ask him. And when he looked at my sponsor was shaking his head, yeah. Because I did. I really, truly developed a relationship with my sponsor that I could totally, totally trust him. And through that relationship and that trust, I was able to make some healthy decisions in my life. Now, there was a point in my life where I outgrew sponsorship. I done been through that spot twice. The first time it cost me $30,000. That's right. I went to my sponsor and I said, sponsor, look, I'm going through this relationship deal, and me and this girl are separated, and she need to come back. And what do you think? He's like, I don't know, Ron. I don't know. I think you just need to sit still and go on and do what you're doing. And I was like, shit, he don't know what he's talking about. I don't talk to him that much anyway. So I threw up a little jackpot prayer. What do you think, God? I agree with you. I'm going to tell you this, right? I'm going to tell you this. Anything that you go through in Narcotics Anonymous that don't kill you, you will definitely grow from, or you'll go back and get high. I didn't get high, y'all. I learned a lot from that. I learned that I can still trust my sponsor because the stuff he tell me, he's sharing his experience, and it's for real. But I also learned a lot of other things out of that experience, too. I learned unconditional love. I learned to really and truly surrender. I learned what powerless was truly about, and it put it in effect even when it was totally destroying me. I learned acceptance. I learned that I can hit a spiritual bottom in Narcotics Anonymous, survive, and get closer to God as a result of it. And when this happened, you know what? My sponsor called me every single day. Are you all right? Are you okay? He called me so damn much I had to tell him, stop calling me. I said, there's nothing that you can do to change this. I need to go through this for myself. And he backed up. But what I noticed was he started showing up where I was. I'd go to a meeting, he'd show up and just give me a hug and go sit down. And I know that that's his way of showing love for me. That's his way of giving me my space and letting me grow. But that's also his way of making sure I'm okay. And you can only find that here in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, second time that happened, guess what? It was over, y'all. Yeah. Relationship. Well, what do you think, sponsor? I don't know, man. I don't think you better do that. Man, shit, he ain't been coming to no whole lot of meeting. What do you think, God? I agree with you. And you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of this guy who was sharing in Philly, and he was sharing about that mouse that was caught in a trap. Not the brick your neck kind of trap, but that stick'em kind of trap. And there cuz was back in the trap. And guess who showed up? My sponsor. He looked me straight in my face and he said, I don't care what you decide to do. I'm not going to change the way I feel about you. I still love you. It was the epitome of unconditional love. Do I wish I had made a different decision? I wish I had done it a different way. The outcome of the decision is still the way I would want it to be, but I wish I had done it a different way. I wish I had taken his direction. And from that day on, I learned through that experience, I won't do that shit no more like that. I sponsor about 14 guys. And most of those 14 guys are here right now. And of those 14 guys, I am actively working steps with all 14 of them. So not only am I getting guidance from my sponsor and from my grand sponsor, but I'm also being reinforced by my sponsees as well. And that every time I go over a step with them, it reinforces my step with me. Now, when I'm going through these situations, guess who else show up beside my sponsor? My sponsees show up. They all show up. They definitely carry me sometimes when I do things that take me to a point where I don't feel like I want to keep going. See, my thing is that when I make mistakes, I'm hard on myself. You know, and I've often heard a lot of people say, well, I ain't gonna beat myself up. Me personally, I believe in the literature. And the first step, it says, when we become beaten, we surrender. So I take the ass whipping. And I give it to myself because I hold myself to a high standard. And the reason why I hold myself to that high standard is because I'm going to definitely hold you to that standard. I'll hold you to a standard that I can't even reach. So I definitely need to hold myself to that standard. You know, in sponsorship, it has given me the ability to become part of people's lives where they have to develop trust in me. You know, last night, we went over a fourth step. And we were up until 5 o'clock this morning going over that fourth step. He finally finished his fourth step, y'all. But there were some issues in that fourth step that he was afraid to share with me, just like it was some issues in my fourth step that I was afraid to share with my sponsor. But what my sponsor did with me was he shared some issues that were similar, which made me feel comfortable, and I was able to share the same thing about my life with him that made him feel comfortable. And as I talked to my sponsor in my fourth step, and I sat there and I cried, he sat there and he cried, and it brought back those feelings of when I did my fourth step with my sponsor. See, in my fourth step, I had to talk about being molested. I had to talk about the abandonment issues. I had to talk about wanting my father to be the man that I want him to be. And I wasn't that man myself. You know, I've been through situations where my sponsees and my sponsor have supported me when my family don't. You know, sponsorship is the heartbeat of Narcotics Anonymous. Everything that I brought into this program, my sponsor asked me, is there anything that you want to keep? And I said, yeah, you know, I want to keep my clothes, I want to keep this, I want to keep, you know, my car, I want to keep this and I want to keep that. And as I started talking, and the more he looked at me, what I realized is the only thing I wanted to keep when I came in here was my life. There was nothing that I really liked about myself. It was everything that I tolerated and everything I put up with, but it was nothing that I was really comfortable with. I was scared to death when I came in here. I was too afraid to get up from the back of the room and sit in the front of the room. I came down here 28 days clean, and a guy was sharing about relationships, and what I learned about relationships was that I always take the right of choice away from somebody else, and that's why my relationships don't work out. And that shit scared me so damn bad, I ain't even want nothing else to do with Narcotics Anonymous. My sponsor sorted through all that mess, and he showed me how to become a decent, productive member of society. You know, I owe my life ultimately to Narcotics Anonymous, which ultimately leads me to God. But for real, my hotline was through my sponsor. He showed me what service was about. My sponsor did not ask me to get a service commitment. He grabbed me by the back of my neck and he pushed me and said, here, you're going to be doing this. You know, I can say this also, too. In sponsorship, you know, we kill newcomers around here. And we kill newcomers because we say, you know, if you don't mind, will you sit up front? You know, do you think you can do a 90 meetings in 90 days? you know, when are you going to write on your, oh, okay, don't worry, I know you got to work. I don't care my sponsees. You know what, most of the sponsees that come around here, man, after a couple weeks, I don't hear from them no more if they ain't willing to work. Because I tell them, I don't give a shit. I tell my sponsees what to do. But you know what the difference is for me? Is I don't expect them to do nothing I say. I really don't. And if they do it, that's good. And if they don't do it, that's good. But when I tell them, those are subtle commands. And when my sponsor told me they were subtle commands, they were suggestions. That's what subtle commands are. So I'm like, oh, no, you go and work on your step. He go and watch TV. I don't care. I benefit from when I work steps, not from when he works steps, because I benefit when he works steps and go over them with me. So if he don't work them, he'll find out why he should work them. No, I don't make decisions for my sponsees. I share my experience, strength, and hope just like my sponsor did and let them make their own decisions. You know, the basic text in the sponsorship guide also talks about being legal representatives and babysitters and bankers and all that kind of stuff. That's not what sponsorship is about. But I'll be perfectly honest with you, I don't know any good sponsor that hasn't taken on that responsibility. You know, my sponsor's taking it on with me. I remember my sponsor picked up my daughter every day, 5 days a week, for a whole school year to make sure that she got to a job that she got through her school, and he didn't ask for a dime in return. And that's because of the friendship that we developed since him being my sponsor. I got five more minutes, and the last thing that I'd like to share about is, this one's gonna be hard for me, y'all. The last thing I'd like to share about is on February the 20th, my son got killed. He got killed in Iraq. And I was at work and I got the phone call and man, I couldn't believe it, man. My son was 21 years old. When me and my ex-wife divorced, my son stayed with me. He stayed with me until he went into the military, and when he would come home from the military, he would stay with me. And when they told me he was dead, man, it was like somebody had ripped my heart out. I had never experienced that kind of pain and emotion all at one time. When I called my sponsor, see, my whole family, my sponsor family knows my son, and my sponsor said, I told you that damn boy played too much. He was so pissed off, not at my son, not at me, but just at the way things are sometimes. And he just kind of like started showing up and supporting me. My sponsees started coming. They came over to my house. Dino got a car to make sure I got to the funeral and all, and he drove me. And I mean, they just picked me up, and Steve started showing back up. And I mean, they just gathered me up and they just carried me through that whole ordeal. You know what I mean? And I live by myself, and I'm always waiting for my son to come home. And every time I hear a little bump, I keep thinking that he's going to say, hey, it's me, Mike. And it ain't no more me, Mikes. And, you know, my sponsor and my sponsees helped me through that ordeal. They helped me bury him. They sit around me. They care for me. They hug me, and they love me unconditionally until I got through that ordeal. My son died a proud death. He said he was going to go out in a blaze of glory just like I did when I was getting high, but the only difference is that he did it. The governor was at his funeral, and he had a very honorable burial. And I'm proud that he was my son. And you want to know something? I share that because sponsorship don't stop with sponsees. I sponsored my son. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Ron. You almost make me cry every time you talk about that. Next speaker is Mike P.
My family named Mike, and I'm an addict. And First of all, I'd like to say let's give it up for the Central Maryland area for putting on this convention. And you really have to be a part of putting on one of these things to understand all of the work that go behind making this happen so we can enjoy ourselves. And in that, they sponsored us by doing the work to make this happen. And I am truly grateful for them. I'd like to also thank the program committee of Central Maryland for asking me to come out here and participate in this topic. I believe that anyone could do this, to be a part of this. I'm also, too, is not no convention speaker. You know, I just soon just sit in the back and listen and enjoy the speakers that come before us. I'm going to do something, man. I don't like doing it because I know he don't like doing it. I'm going to ask my sponsor to stand up if he's still in here. It's in there. Where you at? There you go, right over there. I'm also going to ask the folks that I sponsor and the folks that they sponsor to stand up. And I believe that the reason why that is so important is just to show how the program work and how sponsorship itself work. Let me tell you just a little bit about me. I am an addict, and my drug of choice is drugs. You need to know that. Preferably more and free, you know. I came to this program by the way in one of the most prestigious places in Washington, D.C. called Psychiatric Institute. And when I came, I had a Ph.D. when I went in there. I was a poor, helpless dummy. And I met my sponsor as a result of that program. Sponsorship is, and Ron mentioned it, about being the heart of this program. It's so important that we have that sponsorship kind of relationship. And let me also do this, because I want to give you my disclaimer first. Because anything I may say up here, don't blame Narcotics Anonymous, blame me. Because I don't speak for Narcotics Anonymous, but I do speak for me. So I don't want anybody to get anything misconstrued, because I did let y'all know that I was a poor, helpless. They told me, Mike, you know you so intelligent, you may not need a sponsor. You know, but they say keep in mind that you will be listening to a damn fool. You know? And I could identify with that, because everything I did failed upon reaching this program, and running on what I knew got me here. And I didn't know how sick I was running on the information that I knew, being indoctrinated with the street mentality, learning all of the things and being educated out in the street. Coming into this program, I began to see something totally different and why I was suffering so bad. I didn't know anything about the disease of addiction. My clean date is August the 14th, 1986. And um, I share that with you only to let you know that don't make me no better than anybody. The only thing that do is just make me fortunate to be able or to have came to the program a little bit before some others. That's all that say. That's all clean time really say is that someone has been able to come a little earlier than someone else. I believe that because I know that, you know, we are all addicts, and when we come into this program, we all suffer from the same disease. And it's through what we learn in this program that makes a difference in our life. And like when I say I came, I didn't know anything about this program. I didn't know anything about recovery. Matter of fact, where I was at, no one was ever even talking about recovery. I had never heard of ENA. That was the best kept secret in town, you know. You know, they knew where everything else had, but nobody had mentioned nothing about no Narcotics Anonymous. And I knew my sponsor before I came into Narcotics Anonymous, and we used to play ball, and we used together, and we used to frequent a lot of the same places. And one day, you know, I noticed that he had disappeared from the alleys where we was hanging out at, and I ain't see him no more. But that didn't stop me from doing what I had to do. I had to keep on going. And when I hit my bottom and came into the fellowship, one of the earliest meetings that I went to, I ran across him. And I seen him in that meeting, and I asked him, where had he been all this time? And I got mad. I caught a resentment against him, because I said, man, you left me out there using, and here you is, you in Narcotics Anonymous, and enjoying yourself, and getting haircuts, and taking baths, and, you know. And I was still out there suffering. And he did just what y'all just did. He laughed just like that. And he said, Mike, if I would have tried to tell you what I was doing, you wouldn't have accepted it at that time. And he was right, because I wasn't ready to surrender and to give up what I was doing. I had to hit that bottom and go through what I had to go to prepare me for what I would later learn in this program. And I asked him to be my sponsor. And it has been one of the greatest things that have happened to me since being in this program. What he proceeded to do was to share with me a lot of the things that y'all had taught him. And the funny thing about that, and I kid him about this too, was that when I asked him to be my sponsor, he didn't have a lot of clean time when I asked him. I believe I had maybe 8 or 9 months, might not even been quite a year, might have been a year or so. But he didn't have much more time than that. And really, and I didn't know that then, but I know now that he shouldn't have been sponsoring me, because he really didn't have that kind of information to be sponsoring anybody. You know what I'm saying? You know, I really could have used behind what he was telling me, because he didn't even have no information. He hadn't been here long enough to know anything about no recovery, really, you know. And But I didn't know that he was getting information from his sponsor to help him sponsor me. And that's how this program worked, that the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. Our medallion say our gratitude speaks when we care and share with others the NA way. That makes reference to sponsorship. Our 12 step talks about having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. We try to carry the message to the addict who still suffer and practice these principles in all our affairs. This makes reference to sponsorship. We keep only what we have by giving it away. And that speaks reference to sponsorship. Our fifth step said that we admit to God, ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And that speaks in reference to sponsorship. I want to read something, if y'all don't mind, just a minute out of something for this Just for the Day book. I'm trying to catch a cold, so kind of bear with me. The weather is so unpredictable up here. I bought my beach clothes in, and you know what I'm saying? I just put my trunks and stuff on, you know. Now I need my winter coat, you know. I'm trying to transition in and out of that. It says in here that, and this comes from the March reading that talks about success. It says, when we share our successes with others in NA, they often begin to believe that they can achieve their goals as well. When we succeed, we help lay the groundwork for others who follow in our path. Sponsorship helped me begin to receive and achieve the goals that I always wanted to achieve in life. By my sponsor sharing his successes with me and me seeing his successes, I was able to receive and believe that I too could achieve some of the same things that I seen him achieve. Because when I left him in the alley, or he left me there, however he want to put it, you know, he was doing bad. You know what I mean? He wasn't doing that good, that great, you know. And upon arriving in the program and applying principles, and when I was talking with him and I asked him to be my sponsor, and he had a car, and the last time I seen him, he was catching the bus, you know what I mean? He was walking like I was, and he had a car, and he said he had a bank account and whatnot, and he always had a bank account, but he never had nothing in it. He was like me, you know. He was like me all the time, you know. So I seen some good things that was taking place in his life, and he made it clear to me that what was happening to him could also happen for me if I was willing to participate in this new way of life. Sponsorship is not, I think a lot of times it gets a bad word of, or people put the wrong expectation on sponsorship, on people sponsoring one another. My sponsor made it clear to me, and constantly always make it clear, is that he's an addict just like me. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing special about him, is that, you know, he's an addict first. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we would think that sponsors are different than than all of us. You know what I mean? That something is something that's special about them that make them not addicts anymore. And that is so further from the truth, because being a sponsor myself and being sponsored, I see that we need help just like anybody else. And that the newcomer is the most important person in these rooms, because with the newcomer, we are able to share our strength and hope with them, and to give back what's so freely been given to us, and to let them know that they too can find success in this new way of life and never have to use again. No matter what happens in your life, you never have to use again if you don't want to. And I never knew that before getting here. I thought that I always had to use, and I always use. And when I got here, it didn't make any sense. It took me a long time to fathom why anybody would want to stay clean for a year. I didn't understand why. That don't make no sense to me. Why would you want to do that? You know what I'm saying? You know, just show me a way how to manage this thing, and you know, and I'll just use on the weekends and on Christmas and on my birthday and Thanksgiving. Just give me some, you know, show me that. I don't want to just stop everything. And they say, Mike, there's no such thing as a social user. So they say, don't just cut down, but cut it out. Don't even cut back, just cut it out, you know. And I stayed long enough, and I'm so glad that I was sick enough that I would have to stay long enough until it began to start making sense to stay. Did to use, and I started the journey through the steps, and with my sponsor, he began to show me the things that was working for him in his life, and one of the things I heard Ron mention earlier about service work, and my sponsor was involved in service, and this sponsor had got him into service. And I remember being in service and going down to Lawton with my sponsor. And they used to take H&I meetings down to Lawton. And I wanted to go with them. And I didn't have no fear in going down there because everybody I knew was down there. It was like going home to me, you know, when you go down there. You know, all my homeboys and stuff. But they would let me go and ride, but they wouldn't let me share. You know, they wouldn't let me say nothing. And I had 3 months clean, and I felt I could have said something. I could have said a little bit anyway, you know what I mean? You know, but they just let me share in the car, you know, going up and going down, going up and going down. I didn't have anything to say now that I have been here for a minute, and they was doing the right thing. My sponsor took me on that journey. It's so important to have someone to go with you on the fact-finding mission, the sightseeing expedition on the inside of self. It was easy for me to go and to talk about everybody else, but I had never was able to really talk about who I was. Through this process, I was able to do the step work that was necessary to help me get inside of myself to find out why I was using in the first place. what we find out in here by being in the program, that using is just the symptom of our disease. That our disease involves more than just using drugs. I live to say that because of that, our recovery must consist of more than just staying clean. And so when we just stay clean without addressing the things that I used to in the first place, then eventually them things that I used to in the first place come back, and I have no mental defense against what they are, and I'll do what I always did, and that is to use. And so by doing that step work, and that's what it's out of the fourth step, being willing to go over the step work with a sponsor, with a guide. It's so important that we have a guide, a tour guide, someone to help me get through and find the things that I need to recover in this process. Because, you know, it's a funny thing about me, and I have come to notice, man, is that it's two sides of me. And it's a side that know everything, and it's a side that don't know a damn thing. And the side that don't know a damn thing always tell a side that know everything what to do, you know. So I stay mixed up, because I be listening to the dummy, you know. So I have to get in touch with my sponsor and help, let him help me sort this stuff out, because I could tell myself some of the craziest stuff, and I believe it. I tell myself that stuff long enough, and I believe it, and I won't be able to differentiate the truth from the false. And I literally mentioned that because I would have convinced my own self of some craziness. You know, this process has been a good process. The freedom that we get, and it talks about it in our symbol, about God, service, society, self, freedom, and goodwill. That also has a connotation that it says has great manifestation for the recovering addict. What it means is saying simply is that it's room to cover anything that we need to recover in our lives so that we can become usefully whole. I don't believe today that the God that I have come to understand through this process meant for me to live the way that I live. I don't believe that today. And what that says is that the broader the base, the higher the point of freedom, which is mean is that the more that I put in this, the more that I get out of it. And service is the key when one gets outside itself to help someone with no strings attached. So when we're dealing with sponsorship, we're dealing with service. A sponsor is a servant to me. A servant means that you go first and I go last. That's what that simply means. That means that in sponsorship, sometimes I have to be inconvenient to help you out. And that don't always feel good, because there's a lot of things that I want to do when I want to do it, when I want to do it. And my mind, that other side, to say what they going through ain't really that important. The game is on tonight. They got March Madness on tonight, you know. And so I have to work hard to get outside of myself to make what they go through and what they doing important in my life. And that requires a lot of times a sacrifice. And I don't like to sacrifice all the time. You need to know that, because if I can get it for short money, give it here. Whatever, you know. If I ain't got to pay the full price, give me the shorts, you know. But it's so important that you have someone that you can trust. And that's what sponsorship is too, especially for the newcomer. Having someone that you can trust. Someone that you may not feel comfortable about sharing stuff with in a meeting, that you can pull up and talk one-on-one with. And even if you don't have a sponsor, they told me to get a temporarily sponsor. Someone that's willing to help you in your recovery, that believe in you. It mentions in this just for today, that just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and who want to help me in my recovery. That's another reference to sponsorship. So you get someone to help you. You got to understand that sponsors are human like everyone else. We don't have the answers. I don't have the answers to everything. I don't know everything. I'm not even going to pretend to know everything. But what I'm willing to do is to help you find out what you need to find out to get you through whatever you're going through. I'll go with you to make that happen. No, I don't always know what God's will is, but when you don't have faith, then I have to step in and have faith for you until you get your legs back under you and make you get on the other side. When it's dark, when you're drinking your tears at night, when you can't get through life, when life jump out the bushes on you, and you don't know which way to go and you want to give up, then I got to be there to help you, pull you out of that, snatch you out of that, bring you back here and instill in you that hope and that faith and let you know that it's going to be all right. I got to tell you that even sometime if I don't believe in myself, I got to tell you that, that it's going to be all right. But I know it's going to be all right, because then what I do for you is get on my knees and pray and say, God, I done told them that it's going to be all right. Make it all right for them. And he'll make it all right. He'll make it all right. And then what they do when they make it all right, they'll come back and give me the credit. But I can't fall for the okie doke. Then I got to redirect it and give it back to God, because it don't come from me. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get ready to shut down. It's a big thing about men and women sponsorship. And for the newcomer, that is so, so vital that you have sponsors of the same sex, especially if you're brand new, because you can easily get caught up emotional, and some of us are in recovery, but we haven't worked on that part of our recovery program yet. We still have issues with things like that. So if you got a problem with that, leave these newcomers alone so that they can recover. And I have seen guys take advantage of folks. And so we have a responsibility to help people. Sponsorship to me is about helping whoever, whenever, however I can. I cannot turn my back and say I cannot help someone when I know that they may be going through something that I may have some experience with, or I may not have some experience with, or I may know someone that may have had that same experience. And I can direct them to that person so that they can get the help that they need. My time is up, and man, I could just go on with this. I'm going to thank y'all for coming out. Helping us, me and Ron, do this workshop. I hope we have said something that may be able to help y'all today. And with that, I'm going to keep coming back.